Hello, Crossroads. Hey, Happy New Year, everybody. Happy New Year. It's good to see you all. Wow, full packed audience today. Good way to start off the new year. Got a question for you. By the way, I'm Mike Moore, founding pastor here, giving our senior pastor, or lead pastor, Brian Hunt, a much needed break. Been great having him, hasn't it? Really? All right. Well, listen, I got a question for you. How many of you have this year started, you know, only 3 days into the year, right? So it's going okay for you? All right. How many of you have made a resolution, a New Year's resolution, or thought about making one? Let me see your hands. See, they're not too popular anymore. People just kind of gave up on making them. I wonder why. You know, you go to the gym and you sign up for a gym, you know, in January, and it's just packed. You can't even get on a machine. By the end of January, hey, the place is empty, right? All those New Year's resolutions. I came across this New Year's prayer. Listen to this. Dear Lord, so far this year, I've done well. I haven't gossiped. I haven't lost my temper. I haven't been greedy, grumpy, nasty, selfish, or overindulgent. I'm very thankful for that. But in a few minutes, Lord, I'm going to have to get out of bed. And then from then on, I'm going to need a lot of help. Here's another New Year sentiment. It's been a tough year, but I've made it so far. Not everyone is as lucky as I am. Show the picture there. Maybe that's the way you felt by the end of this year. Here's another one. Here's one guy's New Year's resolution. He says, my New Year's resolution is not to shovel snow. Since I live in Florida, I feel pretty good about it. Somebody once said that a New Year's resolution is something that goes in one ear and out the other. Have you ever noticed that when it comes to the new year, people just love to think about a new slate? They look into the future and they say, okay, it's a brand new year. I got a whole, just a clean slate in front of me. I can rewrite. And that's where the idea of resolutions come from. You know, I'm going to make some changes this year. But I want you to know that you can face every year with hope and optimism. You really can. Not only that, the Bible teaches that you can face every single day with new hope and optimism. Because God is a God of new things. In fact, in Revelation, at the end of it all, it says that God says, behold, I am making all things new. The Bible says, sing a new song unto the Lord. It's all about newness. We come to Him, come to Jesus Christ, and He renews our life. And I love this verse found in Lamentations 3. It says this, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. Aren't you glad? Right? For His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Every day when you get up in the morning, guess what? New slate. Why? Because God's compassions and His mercy and His forgiveness and all the good stuff that He brings our way are new every single morning. All of us have a new year in front of us. And the question is, what are we going to do in that new year? Because you're going to have obstacles and you're going to have opportunities. You're going to have challenges. You're going to have blessings. All of our years are going to be filled with those things every single new year. You see, you and I only have one life, right? I mean, that's pretty obvious. We get one go-round at this thing called life. You have one life to make a difference, just one. Filled with many days and hours and minutes and years, but you have one life to make a difference on this planet. John Harbaugh, head coach of the Baltimore Ravens, has a great quote. Here's what he said. Sometimes it seems that the days are long, but the years are short. Can you relate to that? You ever had a bad day when you thought that day would never end? Or maybe a season of life that you're trying to get through and it seems like it's never going to end. And yet sometimes you turn around, you blink your eyes, and you think, wow, 10 years has gone by? Especially when you watch an old movie you haven't seen in 10 years, and you think, wow, that was 10 years old, and you find out it's 25 years old. I mean, just life just flashes right by. Somebody once said that life is like a roll of toilet paper. The closer you get to the end, the faster it goes. You discovered that? And that's just the way life goes. How many of you remember Y2K? Okay. Some of you remember celebrating the new year coming into the millennium. Folks, that was 15 years ago. Yikes. Blink your eyes and there it goes. Look what the Bible says. Psalm 39. Lord, Lord, remind me how brief my time on earth will be. Remind me that my days are numbered, how fleeting my life is. See, we need God to remind us of that. Psalm 90:12. Teach us, Lord, to number our days and recognize how few they are. Help us to spend them as we should. See, the Bible is filled with reminders of not only how important your life is, but also how short it is. It's like a puff of smoke, the Bible says. Here 1 minute, gone the next. It's like the grass that grows one day and cut down the next. All kinds of illustrations about how short our lives really are. But it says, Lord, teach us to spend them as we should. Now, how do you do that? How does God teach us to spend our days the way that He has designed us to spend them? Now, I want you to imagine something. Imagine it this way. Imagine your life is like a baseball game. All right? Now, how many innings are in a baseball game? 9, right? So imagine every one of those innings represents 10 years of your life. What inning are you in right now? If you're 30 years old, you're entering into the third inning. You're saying, man, I got 6 more innings to play. Supposing God gives you the entire game to play, all 9 innings, you're going to be 90 years old. Right now, where are you in that scenario in your life? First inning? Maybe you're a kid. Third inning, fourth inning. Right now, I'm going into the 7th inning stretch. And I come to that point in my life, and you'll discover this, the older you get, the more there is a sense of urgency to put some points on the scoreboard of life. There's not less urgency, there's more, because you realize what life is about, that it's fleeting, and you want to make a difference with your remaining years. So, where are you in the game of life? Today I want to talk about legacy, about making a difference, about making your mark in life, about really making a difference and leaving your footprint in the sands of time that make a difference. You see, because I believe that every single person on the planet actually, deep down inside, wants their life to count. I've never met a person, at least I don't think that I have, that just wakes up every morning thinking about how they can waste their life away. Some people do, but they don't do that intentionally. And most people really want to make a difference and have significance to their life. So the question I want to ask this morning is this. Are you living the kind of life that will leave the legacy that you want to leave? Right now, are you living the kind of life that will leave the legacy that you want to leave? Now, here's our working definition of legacy. Okay, I'm going to put it on the screen. Legacy is something that we leave behind that lives on in others. What are you leaving behind that is going to live on in other people? Another way of saying this is, am I going to leave a God mark on this planet or a me mark? A God mark or a me mark? Every one of us will leave a legacy. Trust me, you will leave a footprint. You will leave a mark in this world. It may be a positive one, it may be a negative one, but you will leave a mark. We all leave a mark in the footprint of time. Now, as a follower of Jesus Christ, if you've committed yourself to Jesus Christ, and you really want to follow after Jesus and His teachings and the Scripture and live your life as a Christian, then every single Christ follower is called by God to leave not a me mark, but a Jesus mark. In other words, when you leave this earth, a footprint that resembles something of that of the life of Christ. That's what we are called to do. So it's not about blazing our own trail through this life. It's not about leaving a me mark, but leaving a God mark behind in the lives of other people. So that's our question this morning. Am I living a me mark or a God mark? So what does it look like to live a God mark? How would you recognize somebody who's leaving a God mark in life? Well, I'm going to give you a few characteristics. So if you're taking notes, you'd like to jot these down, feel free to do so. First of all, the first quality that I see of a person who leaves a God mark is they give God the control. I mean, they could rely on their own strength, But they choose to allow God to direct their lives. They choose to let His Holy Spirit lead them and guide them through life. And they listen to not only the voice of God in those quiet moments, but they also listen to His word that speaks to them. So they live their lives according to the scripture. They actually do that. And they're the ones that obey God's voice even when it's not convenient to do so. Even when it's not politically correct to do so. Even though they live in a broken, dark culture that is going a completely different way, they choose to follow God in His word, in His direction. There's a second thing that they leave behind in a legacy. They give God the glory. They give God the glory. They recognize, if you want to leave a God mark, you have to recognize that you can do nothing in your own strength. Jesus said, I'm the vine, you're the branches, and apart from me, you can do a few things. No, that's not what He said. Apart from me, you can do nothing. You see, they recognize, they want to honor God in the way that they live their lives, and they live it through His strength in the way that they treat other people, in the way that they handle their money, in the way that they operate in the workplace. And in everything they do, they want to honor God, and they want Him to receive the due, the glory, the honor that He deserves. It's all about Him, not me. Third thing that they do is that they lay down their life. They actually lay down their life for others, and they put others first. They serve in ways that are sacrificial. They follow the pattern or the model that Jesus laid down when He came into this world and said, you know, I have not come to be served, but I have come to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many. They follow that model because Jesus laid it down for us. And He followed that model all the way to the cross. When He finally was hanging on that cross, He says, Father, forgive them. For they know not what they do. And maybe as a Christ follower, leaving a God mark, we are people who would say, you know, when we're hurt, when people have hurt us, we would offer up forgiveness instead of anger and bitterness. Because why? Because we're laying down our life for other people. This is a person that leaves a God mark legacy in their life. And the last thing here is they build God's kingdom. They build God's kingdom. They're not out building their own kingdom. They know that their lives are not about them. They're out spreading the message of Jesus. But listen, not only spreading it with their words and the way that they live, but actually living it so that their words and their deeds match their life. This is a person that leaves a legacy. They understand that unless they live this way in a very authentic way, that there's this emptiness to life. Because they're not on this earth to build their own kingdom. They're here to build one to the glory of God, to point to Him who is worthy of honor. So these are the marks of a person going through life that's going to leave a God-marked legacy. Now, what about the contrast? What about a person who leaves a me mark? Let's take a look at some of those characteristics. Number one, they take control. They take control. They don't trust that God's going to take care of them. In fact, if there's a problem, what do? If there's a problem, they simply roll up their sleeves and they work harder. Now, that's an admirable quality to a certain extent, would you agree? But here's the problem. See, they never look up. They only look in. Their motto is, if it's to be, it's up to me. They're the captain of their own souls. And God is not a part of this picture, not part of the equation. Here's another thing. They take credit for everything. They're the ones who love to take credit, and they want praise, and they want recognition for everything that they accomplish. They're always looking to have their name in the lights. They always want to be the man. They always want to be singled out as somebody special. That's a person who leaves a me mark. It's all about them. It's all about me, see? And lastly, they build their own kingdom. The person who goes through life leaving a me mark is all about building their own kingdom, and it's only for this world. They're not interested in looking to the eternal. It's all about here and now, dog eat dog, and you know they go through life, and maybe some of them accumulate stuff, a lot of material things. Maybe it's material things. Maybe it's things like status or position or achievement. Or power, whatever it might be, they just gravitate and pull it towards themselves. But in the end, it's all about me. It's all about me. That is the footprint of a person who lives a me mark. Now, I want to have some fun with this, and I want to illustrate it a little bit, okay? We're going to have a little fun. It's an interactive kind of thing. We're going to, some of these are going to be a slam dunk, so you get to be involved. But some of them are going to be easy. Some of them are going to be even a little bit controversial, may have a few rights break out, but that's okay. Love one another during it. But here's what we're going to do. I'm going to show you on the screen some pictures of people that you will recognize. Now, these people are most of them are very famous, and you'll recognize them right away for some of their accomplishments or lack of them in life. And so what we're going to do is we're going to flash the picture on the screen, and then we're going to vote. Now, understand that God's the ultimate judge, okay? So, you know, don't get too uptight about this, but cast your vote. Do you think that they're leaving a me mark or a God mark? Some of them are going to be fairly easy, and I think we're going to be pretty unanimous. Others, we'll have some fun. All right, you ready? First person, God mark. How many say God mark? All right, God mark, Billy Graham. All right, how many of you say me mark? First service, we had one person said me mark. And I don't know, maybe they know Billy better than I do. Let's go for number two. That's pretty unanimous. How about this one? Mother Teresa, how many say God mark? God mark? Me mark. Okay. Hey, I told you that'd be pretty easy, right? Now, how come we're so unanimous? These are two of the most influential people in our lifetime when it comes to spiritual things. And we recognize that right off the bat, that they left a legacy, a mark in life that it's just like, amazing. Okay, let's go to the third picture. Here we go. Okay, no judgment here. Just make a vote, okay? How many of you say God mark? Come on. All right, you've got a few, just like the first service. How many of you say me mark? That's interesting, very interesting. I don't know what to say on that one. Otherwise, let's go to the next one. All right, ready? Bingo. Okay, how many of you say... God mark. Anybody? No takers for Charles Manson? Okay. All right. How many of you say me, Mark? Obviously, me. Okay. Those have been easy so far. Now I'm gonna raise the bar a little bit. Here we go. Next one. Kim Kardashian. I had a hard time finding a nice picture to show on the screen. Very beautiful. She's famous for being famous. How many of you say God mark? God mark. Anybody? God mark. Okay, how many say me, Mark? Okay, you guys are pretty much all on the same page. All right, here we go. Now, we're going to raise the bar. Ben Carson, how many of you say God, Mark? Okay, God, Mark. Me, Mark, anybody? Me, Mark, okay, a few people. Okay, all right, Ben, step it up here, bud. All right, here we go. Now, we're really going to ratchet it up. Ready? Next one. Barack Obama. Okay, hold on. No, okay. How many of you say a God, Mark? God, Mark. Few hands, okay. How many of you say me, Mark? Okay, a lot of me, Mark. Okay. Next one. I told you, fair and balanced, okay. How many of you say God, Mark? God, Mark, okay. We've got a few Trump, this one little girl down here, she's a Trump supporter, okay. How many of you say me, Mark? Okay, I mean, the guy really is into himself a little bit, isn't he? Okay, he's a pretty confident fella, all right. Now, you have the idea. You have the idea here. Now, ultimately, as I said, God is the judge, right? We're just voting on what our impressions are, but I'm so thankful that God doesn't look at our life as a snapshot. If somebody took a picture of your worst moment in life and flashed it on the screen, how would you feel about that being your ultimate legacy? No, it's a movie script, folks, and God looks at the whole thing. Aren't you glad? His mercies are new every morning. And I'm so thankful for his mercy and his grace and his forgiveness. And anyway, but it was a little exercise to get you in the idea, okay? Now, God knows the heart, and he knows exactly where each one of these people are. So now I'm going to show you another picture. Now, this picture is someone who's not famous. This picture is someone you have probably, you have never met. Only maybe one person in this room has met them besides myself. And this is a person who is not famous. Probably never had her name in the newspaper except for maybe the obituary. And never made a big splash in life, but made a huge God mark in my life. This is my grandmother, Maggie Cates. Now, Maggie accepted Jesus into her life in her late 40s. And when she did so, it changed the course of our spiritual family tree. I'm telling you, it just radically changed everything. She left a God mark that still lives on in her children, her grandchildren, her great-grandchildren, and her great-grandchildren, great-great-grandchildren today. It keeps on going, the legacy she left behind. She never lived to see that legacy play out. Some of it she did. When I was just going into ministry, I remember her sitting me down, laying her hands on me and praying for me and putting that little finger in my face, and she said, "Mike, don't you ever get away from this book. Don't you get away from this book. You stay with this book." And that's my grandma. Okay. Now, she's known in our family as a matriarch and a spiritual warrior. She prayed, and I won't go into all the stories. I don't have time, but our family talks about it. But there's one incident that took place in her life that changed the course of our family tree spiritually. And basically, I call my mom, okay? Let's show a picture here. This is my mom and dad. And many of you know my dad went to be with the Lord this last year. This was taken last Christmas. My mom is now 88. Well, those two have passed on the legacy, but there's a story behind, there's a backstory behind this picture. See, when I was just a kid, my mom got divorced. I'm talking just a wee little guy, maybe 2 years old. And my mom remarried this man, Odell. And he took me and my brother in and raised us. But when they got married, they were, my mom might be watching this, but they were not living a godly lifestyle. Let me put it that way, okay? And so my grandmother set her sights and her prayers on these two. And I called my mom and I said, "Mom, tell me the story again. Make it clear. I don't want to miss any details. Tell me about how you came to Christ, you and Dad, and the role that Grandma played." And then she told me the story again. I go, "Mom, that's amazing." She said, "I know." And I said, I have a couple of questions for you. First of all, my mom told, it's known in our family that my grandmother fasted for 40 days to see my parents come to Christ. So I wanted to clarify this, and I called my mom. I said, "Mom, now tell me again. This fast that she did, it was 40 days, yes. Mom, tell me, was this 40 days without food? I mean, or was it just a meal fasted every day? No, no meals. No food for 40 days? No food. Mom, did she have at least juice to drink? No, water only for 40 days. Now, I think she chose that number because that's what Jesus did, but she was serious, and my parents, at the end of that, came to know Christ, changed the course of our lives. And they live faithfully following Christ. My mom will be 88 next month, and fortunately we still have her with us, but my dad has gone on. But listen, the reason I tell you that story is because some of you may be discouraged that you're not leaving any big legacy. You're not leaving a mark in life that's of any consequence. Some of you are here thinking to yourself, "Well, I want to be significant, but I'm just changing diapers and I'm doing this, I'm going through the routine." Listen, oftentimes it's the quiet, faithful people over time that leave the biggest footprint. Not the ones that make the big splash in the pond that the whole world sees. And here's my point in sharing this story with you, and that is this. If I have imparted anything spiritual to you in these last 29 years as your pastor here at Crossroads, it's partly due to these two people and my grandmother. Because you are their legacy as well. Do you see how this works? And nobody's ever heard of Maggie Cates. But this is how the kingdom of God works. So don't be discouraged if you feel your life's not making a difference. It's often the faithful, the quiet that make the greatest impact in the world. And of course, when we follow the string all the way back, we have to give credit to where credit is due, and that is none of us would be here if it wasn't for the faithfulness of the one, and that's Jesus Christ himself. Look what Hebrews says in Hebrews 12, verse 1. "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up." Isn't that interesting? the writer of Hebrews says, look, you're running this race and there's some things that are slowing you down, especially that sin that keeps tripping you up. Get rid of it. Strip it off so that you can run the race. And he says, and then let us run it with endurance, the race that God has set before us. We do this. How do we do it? By keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, despising or disregarding its shame. Now he is seated at the place of honor beside God's throne. Think of all the hostility that he endured from sinful people. And then you won't become weary and give up. So he's saying, run the race, run it with endurance, stay focused, don't give up, stay focused. Well, how do you do that? It's a long race, folks. I mean, in terms of 60, 70, 80, maybe 90 years of your life, that seems like quite a long time. And sometimes days do go, slow. But life is fleeting, isn't it? It's so fast. How do you stay on the track for such a long time? Well, there are two words that come to my mind and that I thought of this last week, and one of them was simplicity. I mean, we live in a complex world. It's getting more and more complex all the time. We long for simplicity. Just give me something simple. And the other word is surrender. Simplicity. I mean, what about staying focused on just something very simple, one thing? In fact, one of my favorite movies of all time was called City Slickers. How many of you seen the movie, City Slickers? All right. There's one scene in there. Now, City Slickers is all about three city slickers from New York, midlife crisis. They go on a cattle herd back in out in the West to get away from it all and just experience, simple, right? And there's this one scene in there that's just classic. Let's take a look. Great clip, don't you think? Yeah. What is that one thing? Wouldn't it be great if life could be so simple you could just boil it down to one thing? That's a challenge, isn't it? But there's one of the things we're going to do the rest of our time together today is we're going to talk about the simplicity of one thing, okay? If there was one thing that could improve your life dramatically, if you could just boil this next year and you could boil it down just to one thing you're going to focus on, would that be a powerful thing for you? I believe that it would. And so what I'm going to do is the whole focus of this is one thing for 1 year using one word. Every year, people make New Year's resolutions and they're rarely kept. Oftentimes because they are so, they're hard to remember. Sometimes they lack clarity and focus. But one word is easy to remember and it sticks. And that's what you need. So we're going to talk about one thing, okay? Now, what we're going to be looking at is an exercise that you can use as an individual or as a family, or you can do it as a sports team or at work, or all kinds of ways you can use this, but this is a powerful little exercise, okay? It's just one word sticks, one word simplicity. So what we're going to do is we're going to talk about a process in which you can find that one thing for 2016 for you. Individually for you. And hopefully you're going to get this from God himself. You say, how does this work? Let's take a look at it. In fact, I came across this book not too long ago. I read it. Such a quick read. It's called One Word That Will Change Your Life. And the power behind this is the one word for 1 year, for one life. A very simple concept, and so I took some of the ideas from this, and I want to give you their process for finding that one thing for you, and here it is. Number one, first thing you want to do if you're searching for it is to look in. Prepare your heart. Prepare your heart. This is a process that takes some time. It is so simple. It's so simple even a child could do it, but it's going to take some time on your part to actually do it, which is something that we find hard to find these days. Time set aside just to slow down and look in. It's the idea of examining your life. Psalm 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. Be still. Now, if I were just to be silent for 20 seconds, some of you would start getting nervous. We just don't know what quiet and still is anymore. We're just moving through life like a freight train. And there are times when we need to stop and just be before God and listen. And it doesn't happen unless you do this intentionally. You have to strategically disengage from the hectic pace of life and stop and look inside. So this is the first step. And maybe it means getting up before the kids. Okay? When it's still dark. So I'm talking about getting up. Once those kids get up, it's over. Am I right? Okay? You want to focus. You want quiet. You want to prepare your heart. You want to look in. Psalm 139, David found this time, and here's what he said to God. Psalm 139, search me, O God. Know my heart. Know my heart. Know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life. Now listen, once you do this, once you get alone, once you self-examine, you prepare your heart, and you ask God to speak to you, you ask God three questions. I'm not going to give you the questions right now. In fact, what I've done is I've prepared a little one-word action plan. It's just one sheet that you can go through this three-step process and find the one word for you for 2016 that you can focus in on and see some progress on. But it requires stopping and looking deep inside. And there are three questions you want to ask God, and it's right here on this sheet. Now, I prepared these for you. I didn't give them to you when you came in the door. I want you to take the extra step to go pick one up at guest services after the service. They'll be out there on the counter. Just help yourself to them. But I want you to take the step because I want you to be intentional about what you want to do with this searching for your one word for the year, okay? Now, there's a second step in this process. After you look in, prepare your heart, the second step is to look up, discover your word. And after you've unplugged yourself, you look to God and ask Him, Lord, what do you want to reveal in my life? What is it that you're speaking to me about? John 10:27 says, my sheep listen to my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. So you simply listen. You say, God, what do you want to do with me and in me and through me in 2016? I've got a brand new year. I've got a brand new start. What do you want to do in my life? And you engage with God in a personal way, and you get that one word from Him. It's a process. It's so simple, anyone can do it. Whole families can do it together. Married couples can do it together. And do you realize that your children can hear from God too? It's a fascinating thing. There's a word that is meant for each one of us for this year, 2016. But you have to listen and go through the process to see if God will give it to you. Okay, and it's all based on where you're at in your life and what God wants, where God wants to take you in 2016. That's why with hundreds of people in this room, chances are that no one word will be suited for everybody. In fact, everybody in here will probably have a different word. That's how personal it is. And once you've prepared your heart, just listen. I believe God will speak to you. I'm not talking about audible. So don't go home and wait for something to come from the heavens. God speaks in the still, small voice, the quiet, strong impressions in the heart. So just listen. It's a very powerful exercise. Maybe it'll come in the form of a word of a character trait that God wants to change in your life. Maybe it's a word like patience or kindness or commitment or forgiveness or integrity or purity. And there are thousands and hundreds of thousands of words to choose from, but when it comes to your life and where you're headed, God will speak to you about that one word. Now, most of you are aware, Grace and I are entering a place in our lives where we're getting ready to wrap up our ministry here of 29 years, and we're moving on to new things in our life, and it's a transition period for us. And during this time, I have found my word, and I've been wrestling with it, and I finally came up with a word for me. But before I share it, I'm going to ask some other people that have gone through this process with me to come up and share with you how they got their word, why they chose the word that they did, and what it means to them. So I think Eric and Kim right over here, and my wife Grace, she's going to come on up and join us. And they're just going to simply share with you their word. Now, let me tell you why they're coming, the word that I landed on. Prepare. I went through several things. I mean, I tell you, there's so many words that'll run through your mind, and they all seem good, but you don't want a good word. You want a God word. In other words, one that really resonates. For me, it was prepare. Why? Because I have to prepare for a whole new boulevard, a whole new highway, a whole new experience, a whole new life, and so many changes. So I need to prepare for my next assignment. Do I know what it is yet? No, I don't. But God's never finished with us until we breathe our last breath. Amen? Okay? So I don't care if you're 9 or 900. God's not done with you. So what we have here, you're in a different order this time. Okay, we'll go in this order. Kim Arguello, why don't you share with us your word and what it is and why you chose it.
So my word is balance, and I have a tendency to overcommit to things. I want to help everyone and do and be a part of everything. And so God really put it on my heart, a need for balance, to have more time with him, to spend more time with my husband and have some more quality time just with myself. So my word is balance.
Balance. Okay. That's a good one.
Husband right here. Yeah. Okay. For mine, as Mike and I were discussing what he was going to be talking about today, and I was thinking, you know, applying it to my life as I was listening. And I thought that was a, you know, good idea. And so as he was telling me some of the words that were coming up in his heart, I thought immediately, well, for me, but I realized this came quickly to me. And I realized as I was listening, as I was sitting down there and I was listening, that I had been preparing for a long time because I'd been praying for some of these things already. So I said, for me, I just want to be open. I just want to be open to a new routine. I want to be open to new friends. I want to be open to finding a new church. I want to be open to what God has planned for us for our new journey. And then I just looked at him and I went, my word's open.
The word I chose was present. So I've been in IT for the last 10 years, and for that entire time period, I've had a phone that did email and internet at a minimum. And I recently was between jobs, and I didn't have a smartphone for an entire month. And it was like time slowed down, and I don't think Kim had to repeat herself one time. But in all seriousness.
A whole month?
Yeah, for just a month. Yeah.
I mean, that's right up there with my grandmother fasting for 40 days. I mean,
yeah. It was good. No, and I realized that if I'm not present, I'm potentially missing out on what God has in store for me, whether that's just, you know, a great conversation with Kim or something that he's calling me to do. I just need to be more engaged, more plugged in, and it's so easy for me to pick up my phone and just geek out and research something, and so really for this year, I really want to make an effort to be more present in all things.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it. Give them a hand. They deserve it. Oh, you can take this with you. All right. Well, we've looked at two steps in this process. What? Look in, look up. Third one is look out. Okay? Look out. Live your word. Now, finding your word may be the easiest part, but you got to go through some sort of a process to arrive there. Once you found it, the most difficult thing is actually living it out, right? And so listen to what James says in James chapter 1, verse 22. Don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourself. So when you find out this word that God gives you, live it out. Do it. Don't just tuck it away somewhere. It's essential to remember to focus on that word throughout the whole year, because if you don't focus on it, it will be forgotten. There's so many ways that you can, like with a laser light, with one word, it sticks. And there's so many ways that you can just make it stick in your mind. You can post it in a very prominent place. You can put it on your refrigerator. You can put it on your mirror. You can put it on the dash of your car, on your desk. Make it a screensaver on your computer or your iPhone or whatever phone you use or whatever. You can paint it on a sign. You can share it with family and friends. Any way that you can to make it stick. Someone suggested tattooing it. I don't recommend that unless it's a removable tattoo, but you get the idea. Just remember to focus on your word and keep it prominent for one whole year. Share it with other people that you trust. People that will say, hey, you know, how's prepare coming? Or How's balance coming? Or how is Grace's word open? How's that coming? Or how is present coming? See, I remembered all their words, and it's just one word. It sticks. But it's got to be the word that you come up with. Now, for some, it'll come easily, like for Grace. Yeah, for some of you have to wrestle with it a little bit, because there'll be several words you'll want to choose from. You're going to boil it down and pick one. And you pick it for 1 year. And at the end of 1 year, you look at that word and say, God, what did you do in my life in this area? And it's measurable. But then come next year, you pick another word. Listen, our lives are a legacy. And every life in this place is put together by seconds, minutes, hours, days, months, years, and decades. And we build that legacy one decision at a time. So I'm going to ask you, what are you going to do in 2016 that's going to help you leave a God mark and pour into the lives of other people, so that when you pass through this life and you exit this world, you can hear your Savior say, well done, good and faithful servant. Our lives are so short. James says our lives are like a vapor. They appear for a while, like a puff of smoke. They're gone. But they matter. They matter a lot. Maybe one word that we could all take home with us today is the word surrender. Surrender. Because really, that's what it's all about, right? Surrendering our life into His care and walking humbly after our God. Surrender. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we just lay our lives down before you. I pray that for every person here, that whether they choose to go with this exercise or not, that you would impress upon their hearts that our days are fleeting. They're short, but they're meaningful and they matter. God, would you please wash over us today as a congregation, as a church, and may this next year, 2016, be one in which we really humbly walk after you and seek to live a life that is pleasing in your eyes and leave a legacy that matters in the lives of others. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Would you stand with me as we close with singing a song that I think will express our hearts about this whole message and what it means? Some of you may be thinking, you know, Mike, my life's half over, and I think it's a little bit too late for me to leave a legacy. I want to remind you, as my grandmother, I think she was 48 when she made the decision to follow Jesus. It's never too late. It's never too late. You may be 9 years old here today and thinking about legacy. That's a good thing. I know I wasn't at 9. You may be 90 and thinking about legacy. Every day counts, and His compassion and His mercy is new every morning. So just remember, 2016, whether you choose to do this exercise or not, it's going to be a year that's going to matter. God bless you, and have a great one. Thanks for coming.